My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry. I just want to bring to attention for sponsorships and partnerships. Louis Vuitton is partnering with the League of Legends World Championship. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, actually, I had a conversation with some people in the esports industry today about that. And the thing about it was it's quite an interesting sort of like move by Louis Vuitton.
I think it's really interesting.
I think it's also something that you got to look at from a perspective of like, where is the market that they're trying to get? Because Louis Vuitton is like a high-end type of label. And it's interesting because, I mean, in all my experiences in the video gaming industry, I've never really seen anybody walk around with a Louis Vuitton bag.
I feel kind of the opposite. Like, maybe not Louis Vuitton specifically, because, like, maybe gamers don't care about them. But I think definitely gamers and esports people are very, like, fashion forward nowadays. And I feel like it's mostly, like, a streetwear style. But they're a little bougie. In my experience, like, even streamers, like, even chick streamers, like, Pokimane, like, the guys, too, but well, they're all a little bougie. Like,
yeah, because they're getting a lot of, like, probably attention from their streams and stuff and pushing it that way, so maybe, listen, I gotta tell you, a lot of big companies, Louis Vuitton, Coca-Cola, Taco Bell, any big companies right now, they're grasping at whatever they could possibly grasp at to reach the video gaming audience.
Louis Vuitton's doing it in a really interesting way because they're not only like making a trophy case, but they're making in-game skins from their brand.
Right. I read that too, which I thought was quite interesting. However, I just gotta make one comment about our, you know, about the talks on everything that's happening in regards to esports, in regards to like the overall industry as a whole, just taking a step back from this Louis Vuitton thing, because it's just a microcosm of the bigger problem. And why am I saying it's a bigger problem? Well, the problem is that what we're looking at, and a lot of people are giving a lot of focus to, is a very small part. And I have to make that clear, only in our eighth podcast, but I have to make this very clear. Esports as an industry is a minor part of the video gaming world.
Wasn't involved in esports as like a as a business, I probably wouldn't be as into it as I am. I'd probably just be a casual gamer, but I think it does cross over, but I think a lot of casual gamers don't focus on esports.
So when we look at the numbers from statistical companies and stat companies like Newzoo and Nielsen, what do you think is a problem with those numbers? Throwing it out there, I'm playing devil's advocate. But what do you feel of those? Like, you know, you're into esports and you're also, you know, you do casually game and stuff. But what do you feel from those numbers? Being that I said that esports is a small microcosm of the video gaming industry, what are your opinion on the numbers of statistics that are out there now?
In what way, though? Like, which specific numbers? Esports numbers in general?
100 billion. Here, let's take this one. 100 billion. 100 billion hours viewed of video gaming. 4 billion gamers in the world.
So you're saying that esports is smaller than the general gaming population, and they're counting any kind of streaming numbers towards esports? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Why are those in there? I mean, if news is going to do it, if you're going to do a statistical analysis of esports, why include those numbers of gamers? What I find very misleading is these industry statistical companies pushing companies like Louis Vuitton to the numbers of that are populated for hours watched and hours played of video gaming, but how much of that play, of that watch, is League of Legends, is Overwatch?
Don't they do more condensed reports, though, like per game, per championship, per event?
Yeah, but we don't see them. You know what I'm saying? Those aren't the ones that are, and those, because those numbers, they're not, they're big, but they're not impressive. Break it down. I mean, if you go to if you go to a conference that's a B2B conference, and the esport industry is trying, not my conference, I'm talking about other conferences. Because in my conferences, what I like to do is lay it down on the ground and say, this is the real shit. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give you any bullshit. I want to tell you exactly what it is. And when people come to the Casino Esport Conference, it is called the Casino. But we talk about gamers. And that means casual gaming. Because that's the majority of the video gaming industry today. If everybody wants to know where we begin, it's an entertainment-based model, not a competitive model. That's only a small microcosm of the gaming world or video gaming world as a whole.
I agree.
And we can't be misled. I mean, there's so much banter. I see it every day on LinkedIn. I see it, in conferences, in B2B conferences, and all the hype that's given to, tournaments. And look, there's nothing wrong. Look, perfect example. The Fortnite tournament that happened in Queens this summer, and everybody keeps talking about that, was a great success. It was only a great success because they had more than just the tournament going on.
Mm-hmm.
There were other things that people could do. So it's an event. It's a thing you go to have a lot of fun. And that is the problem with esports. I feel that when esports is being looked at through a microscope, or maybe not, because we're not looking at it in a microscope, but let me say esports being looked at from, 400,000 feet in the sky, everyone's looking at it and saying, oh, it's just like baseball. It's just like football. We can leverage that and put our sponsorship there, and we're going to get all these eyes looking at us. The thing about it is, when they start to do that, esports now is not fun anymore. It's a business.
But people still enjoy baseball and things like that, and that's a business.
Yeah, I understand. But if you asked any average kid today who play, and everybody plays video games, if you asked any other average kid today, do you want to be a professional esports player, I would tell you that maybe 4 out of 10 probably would say yes. Mm-hmm. Maybe even less. Because what's the idea of playing a video game? Are we doing it so we can beat the other person? Generally, overall, in the community of video gaming world, in every community, people are playing why? What's their first and foremost reason to play?
To have fun.
Exactly. So why are we looking at this? Why are we looking at the world of esports?
We as in the casino betting industry?
I'm talking about casino industry. I'm talking about the video gaming industry itself. I'm talking about all the people that are hyping it up to a point where it shouldn't be right now. I think it's important, and it's going to get bigger. But I think
you think it's overhyped. So what do you think? What do you think the solution is? Like, this is the problem. What's the punchline?
The solution is to, if you really want to get the concept of gaming involved, or you want to, the concept of enjoying, is to push the concept of the video gaming is fun. Just like it's fun to go to the movies. Just like it's fun to go to see a Broadway show. It's fun to play video games. That's the biggest message we're missing. And if you want to get esports to a level that's going to be enormous, stop stressing the seriousness of it and start stressing the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that a lot of people are going to, when Louis Vuitton jumps into something, when you have all these articles. Now, listen, everyone's going to bet on it, and there's going to be people betting up. But, there's another article that we were going to cover about underage betting.
Yeah, I think there's it's about 1.5 on here about underage betting.
Right. So it's a problem.
Well, they had do you want to skip to the Twitter
yeah,
sector of it?
Twitter.
So,
yeah, sure.
45% of you 16s, I don't know what that is, I guess that means youth, worldwide engage with esports betting tweets, and I believe the UK is cracking down on it right now because that they're saying it's not following, like, these companies, these betting companies are getting interaction from underage users on Twitter, and, like, they're saying that they're trying to appeal to these younger kids and they're not following regulations, or they're going to be tightening regulations, and they want to find out why underage users are so invested in these betting tweets.
Underage users, well, one of the answers was they think it's because a lot of the casino market is placing their advertising on, you know, like bet.gg is sponsoring some, you know, some major teams.
Also, so they're using clever ploys such as GIFs, memes, pictures, and funny stories. So they're trying to cater to the younger demographic that way, like on the sly.
Also, Also, what about loot box issues and loot crates? I mean, you know, as much as they don't want to say that it's gambling, a lot of people have compared it to gambling. Mm-hmm. So gambling, here's another problem. Gambling also is like, it's gambling. It's an adult activity that should be conducted by people who are 18 or 21 and older. And then that in itself is a move to doing something that's not fun anymore. It's losing money. People are going to lose their money because they're betting when they shouldn't be. Is it fun for kids anymore? I mean, that's the thing. Are we moving into a place with the video gaming industry where we're pushing esports so much, the competitive side so much on that, to make it grow up quicker than it needs to grow up, and then people are jumping into the fray because, you know, it's a source of revenue. I'm speaking here from both sides of the casino industry, gambling industry, and the esports industry, or the video gaming industry. And I hate referring it to the esports industry because it's not, the esports industry is only a microcosm of the entire
gaming industry.
So. What is happening here, and why is it that, you know, I've had conversations with people in publishing companies and that aren't affiliated with Blizzard or Activision or Valve, and some of these tournaments people are not showing up to them, and some of the major tournaments people aren't showing up to them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples?
I think there was recently there was a tournament that, well, a while back, I can't think of any on the top of my head right now, but I know that there was a DreamHack in Las Vegas a couple years back. Nobody came
to DreamHack Las Vegas.
They haven't had a DreamHack in Las Vegas since.
Do you think it was the location? What do you think the reasoning was?
It could have been the location. It could have been a number of things. I mean, there was another event. Maybe it's just poor marketing. I don't know.
I think a lot of times that's the issue.
Yeah. It probably is in most cases. But what I'm trying to say is that I think, or I believe, that people who are gaming or video gaming enthusiasts that like to watch competitions, if it were me, I would rather watch it on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to watch it streamed rather than actually go to the actual event. Unless I was going with a group of buddies, then that's different.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like baseball or any other sport. You know, I'd rather be in my house watching it on TV than being in a stadium of people. We're throwing beer at my head.
Yeah. I think the reason for a lot of that is, as well, these esports events, like the majors, they often are just in one location year after year, and there's no, like, home teams Like, take Overwatch League, for example. I know they're transitioning into, like, having home games and away games.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to grow the physical attendance for those type of things because they do have a sense of ownership around that. So maybe, I know you said that the esports industry and the gaming industry should be more focused on fun, but, like, as an esports structure side, maybe they do need to franchise more, just like Call of Duty is franchising right now. Maybe they do need more home teams so you can have more of a sense of, like, ownership over these teams. And maybe that is not going to happen for the next 5 years, because a lot of the articles that we have in our collection today, a lot of them are saying, oh, esports is going to be top three sports in the next 5 years. Like, young kids are already engaging in gambling content on Twitter. Like, give them another 5 years until they're legal and they can actually start gambling on it. So maybe it, like, ties all together with your point that, like, it does need to grow and maybe it is a little overhyped right now. Like, maybe a slow burn would be better.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because it is the younger generation that is into it. Although, like, a lot of, like, millennials who are now in their 20s, 30s are really enjoying it. They're still, like, kind of in this weird limbo state where they're not all in on online.
Exactly. And I think the people that are more millennials in general are looking at it more as an entertainment than it is actually.
Yeah, I would say so, because it definitely wasn't as competitive for us growing up. Like, you were kind of shunned if you played video games growing up. And I think now that it's cooler and more hip and, like, more pro and mainstream, it is going to take a while for the actual industry to mature with the audience.
Right. Now, that's what I'm trying to say, is that, but introducing the younger generation, the one after millennials, into professional esports and making it more fun and a fun level, like, that was what I was a little nervous about.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, when, you know, we started GamerCon about 5 years ago, and the concept behind GamerCon was, it's called the Game Arts Conference, and it was more about the creative side of gaming, the development side of gaming, and the competitive side of video gaming. But generally, it's really just the festival to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point. But, so, as a microcosm to the entire explosion of esports as a business, I think a better business starting point to make it a bigger and more fun type of activity is exactly what they did with the Fortnite tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, little, like, you know, like, obstacle courses and virtual reality and all kinds of things outside the actual tournament itself.
Even when I was running, like, local smaller tournaments, I needed something for the people who weren't engaged in a game at the moment to have something else to do. So you need, like, free play. You need, like, a watch station. You need something fun for them to do on the side, or else it's just not going to be a fun event for them, and they're probably not going to go again because they don't want to wait around.
Right, but up until, like, I mean, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was getting phone calls from, like, guys that, like, ran stadiums in Seattle or, like, small little venues, and they're like, how do I make money in esports? And
that's still what they're all asking.
Yeah, and then I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, I want to have a tournament. And these are, like, guys that are, like, you know, 50s, 60s, and they're like, well, we'll make money on ticket sales, we'll sell merchandise and sell food.
Yeah.
You know, because they're looking at it like the whole the whole video game industry with the esports stuff was thrown sector that was a familiar model that people were familiar with on a professional level with Major League Baseball, the NBA, and basketball and football. So if you go to a stadium, the NFL, you can buy NFL merchandise, and they have food, beer, and drink, and that's the way they make their money, at the stadiums.
Yeah.
But that is not the correct model for any tournament, whether that be a major, an invitational, or just a regular, you know, amateur. Need many more things involved that's going to engage your audience for them to come to the event. And it's not just food, pretzels, and hot dogs and stuff like that. That's just going to, you can only eat that once.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're like, I'm full. I'm not going to eat anymore. You know, so it really, the way it began was, here's esports, video game competitions. Let's put a bunch of teams together. We're going to have this big tournament. people are going to watch it. We'll give out the thunder sticks and try to sell the merchandise and give them food and beverage. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't just do that. You can't. It's just not. This generation of people need more stimulus, more entertainment. It just can't be done that way. So everyone has to look at their models in regards to, if you're going to sell a franchise, like to Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft bought the franchise of a League of Legends team, right? Or was it an Overwatch?
I'm not familiar with his name. I apologize.
He's from the New England Patriots. That's the guy from Boston.
What's his name?
Robert Kraft. He's the owner of the Patriots, and I think he bought it over. He bought the Overwatch team, or somebody. Anyway, they were selling teams. With Blizzard was for $20 million to create their league, right?
I'm looking it up. Bear with me. I don't know how much it costs to franchise into the Overwatch League. I'm on his Wikipedia. I don't see anything.
Right. Nonetheless, we know how Blizzard was creating those leagues professionally. They were selling.
Call of Duty's doing it for like millions of dollars. I think it's like $30 million.
Right, crazy amounts of money to buy a team, buy in, etc. If they're gonna do that, then any tournament that Blizzard's sponsoring or running, in my opinion, needs to have a lot more involved in what they're doing from that tournament.
It was Blizzard. He owns the Boston Uprising.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It just needs a little more content for people to have fun. I mean, the Fortnite thing that happened in the city was really a success because it just had so much more
to do.
You know, bells and whistles on it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so, like, going back to our first article with Louis Vuitton, I really think that these sponsors like Louis Vuitton and others need to take a much more educated look at what they're investing in from a sponsorship perspective, because every time there's a new sponsor, Honda, Louis Vuitton, Taco Bell, Red Bull, it's announced.
I feel like Louis Vuitton's a little bit cooler because esports fashion is a big piece of it, so I think they fit a little bit more than like Toyota.
Oh, no doubt.
You know
no
what
doubt.
I mean? Like
no
Toyota,
doubt.
Like who really cares? Like, what team they're sponsoring, they really have nothing to do with it unless it's like Forza. They're just like throwing their name on something as if it's anything else.
All right, no doubt. No, I'm saying I think it's great that they're going to sponsor. I think that's a great thing. But what I'm trying to say is that like every time someone jumps in as a sponsor, it's got to be announced in every media, you know, that you can find. And that's okay too, because really the reason why it's getting all the PR that it's getting, it's because it's saying, hey, Louis Vuitton advertised, well, now Tommy Hilfiger should do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like, it's an advertisement to say other sponsors should get involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that if just because Louis Vuitton did something like that as Tommy Hilfiger, just take a little bit more of an educated shot at what you're looking at, do your due diligence, and look at what you're marketing to, rather as a pinpointed event. So if Louis Vuitton's advertising on the Overwatch event, or is it League of Legends?
League of Legends.
Right, on the League of Legends event. Then truth is, like, what is the actual numbers for that? Because you were talking about that. You said there are different numbers for each individual tournament than there are for, you know, the numbers that are broadly.
Yeah, so, like, if you're saying that, because I don't know which specific reports you're referencing, but let's say you said that in these reports that they're putting out there that they're including not only the event viewership numbers, but ones that aren't even relevant to that as well, like, just the game in general. But
let's say
they had the Fortnite event, like they did give the specific number of people who watched the Fortnite event.
Exactly.
It wasn't who watched Fortnite that day.
Right. And that's okay. And that was a good number. But, you know, but Fortnite is Fortnite. You know, let's compare that to League of Legends.
I'm just saying anything League in general. Legend. Like, if they release a report on League of Legends, like North American Championship, they're going to give the numbers of who watched that specific event, not who watched League of Legends in general that day.
Well, let's see. I'd like to see, you know, we saw that that Louis Vuitton's involved with League of Legends for the event in Philadelphia. After the event happened, when is the event? Is this weekend?
Oh, I don't even know. No, I think it's in, like, later in the year. I think it ends in February, unless I'm getting that mixed up. I'm getting that mixed up with the NBA 2K thing.
Okay, so we'll get to the NBA 2K article in a second. But
I was just getting the dates mixed up between the
two. I want to make a mental note that we should make sure that we see the statistics of the League of Legends event,
mm-hmm.
and then we can comment on whether or not it was worth Louis Vuitton to do it. All
right, cool.
Yeah, so let's move on to the NBA 2K thing.
Well, the reason I said February, because NBA 2K is pretty much like creating a new global championship league. Not league, but global championship. There's $100,000 in prizes. I think each person who wins gets $15,000 American. But it's going to be open to everybody. So they're going to have physical events to qualify for this. And they're also going to have online events to qualify that will lead up to one big event.
Right.
On February 22nd.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a great way to go.
Madden was already doing that with Microsoft stores. They were having, like, these qualifiers in the stores, and I know they also have online qualifiers as well, so I think it's pretty cool that NBA 2K is doing that. And I know that NBA is heavily involved in it as well.
Right, I think it's almost a do they allow semi-pros and amateurs on the online part to qualify?
It didn't say that they didn't allow them, so I would assume that they would be able to play as well.
Yep.
I don't know if it'd be worth their while.
I think it's a move on Take-Two's NBA 2K game to try to find more pro players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They want to spread their scene open as much as possible and get the real talent.
Yeah, so I think they're going to be, you know, I suppose if anybody, you know, I'm sure if the community hears about it, a lot of that and probably try to ban it.
Yeah.
So it's online.
And then on a bad note for them, one of their players was banned after he violated their anti-gambling policies, aka he was just, like, gambling on NBA 2K games when he is a player.
I think he sent out some information to somebody, which shouldn't have been told. But, you know, as an overall discussion, because we also had listed the CSGO debacle.
10 years, up to 10 years in prison.
Yeah, but you know, and there's
it's
a lot of people.
It's definitely not going to be that, but.
Yeah, I know, and there's a lot of people in the media, like a lot of reporters. I mean, it was first reported by, what's his name? Richard Lewis, who is a reporter out in, for the Esports Observer. And, he's in London, but I mean, overall, the report came out. There was, you know, it was investigated. I mean,
I think it's still under investigation.
Yeah, and some of the players were dumb enough to, like, talk to their girlfriends on text, which they found.
Yikes.
Said that they actually did throw the game. So, listen, I think there's a lot of, the players, from their perspective, they were like, listen, this is a game that didn't really count. It was just, a preliminary round. It didn't mean anything.
Yeah, they didn't think anything of it.
Right, but from someone who's betting on you, or there's people wagering money on you.
Yeah, it's cheating.
And you're match fixing, that's illegal. So I don't give a shit how you felt about whether it's a qualifier round or it's just a preliminary or whatever it is, and player, you can't do that.
100%.
And that's what I'm talking about, is that a lot of this stuff comes out in the media about these guys, and some of these stories are pretty damn scary. I mean, nobody wants to do 10 years in prison for playing a video game.
And just like throwing one of your matches.
Right, and that's for any kid, it's like, what the hell? Why would I want to be a professional video game player if, you know, I was somebody calls me and says, I got a bunch of money running on this. Can you throw the match? You know?
Well, I think it's opening up a lot of eyes so that that doesn't happen in the future, because I think especially when you're young and you're this player and you're taking part in it, I don't care if you're of age or not, you're still young and you don't think anything of it, you do realize that there's consequences. So I think it's good that it's happening now before it gets too deep into the actual industry.
I really do believe that it's probably good that it happens. Now, look, go back to the
They should have been warned, though. I don't know how in 2019 you don't know that you're going to get caught match fixing.
Well, you know what? It's, again, we're working with an industry, or we're working with a microcosm of the video gaming world that's small and it's growing, but it's still quite young.
Yeah, which goes back to what you were saying before, like, slow down, everybody.
Inexperienced, and you know, I think it's going to become very niche in many ways, and what I mean by that, it's very hard, like I said, it's very hard to compare to conventional sports, because, you know, conventional sports in the beginning, I would say, like, you know, if you want to talk about the Chicago Black Sox of the 1800s or 1818 or whatever the hell it was, you know, that was a game that was match fixed, or the game was fixed, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows it. And there are a lot of influential, very wealthy, bad people out there that are going to tempt these young players. And I think that once, and it's not gonna stop until the players have rights, until the players have a union, until the players are getting paid good money,
yes,
to be a pro player. Whether they win or they lose. And that's really where we're going with it, but it hasn't gotten there yet. And what I think is happening is there's too much emphasis on...
Money,
exactly. I think there's a lot of emphasis on the money. And the question, though, is, like, what's... It's like esports is out there, but it's like as an investor goes, if an investor hears the word esports, he throws the money at it. Now, if you go back to the early years of any conventional sport, they didn't start with money in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They started, like, football started at colleges.
I mean, right, so did esports. Esports started grassroots and small.
Right. But let's go back to, I mean, I hate comparing them, but I'm going to go to, I'm just using the, all we know as reference. Basketball also was invented at a college.
Mm-hmm.
So these were games that were invented at colleges. People played them. They made leagues. They, you know, they played against
You're talking about the actual, ball. Like, league structure came before the money. Whereas, like, esports, exactly. Kind of the money was always there. It started off really, really small, but wasn't even organized at all until money started being a part of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's where
we're Well, I think going. It just, it, I think it just advanced quicker, because that's the age that we live in.
Again, sometimes is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
I think it's just reality.
That's exactly right. It is reality. Things move a lot quicker in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're moving so fast, you can't get the wheels on properly, and it's just not rolling in the right
direction. Yeah, I agree. I do agree with that.
You know what I mean?
I think that the fun has been lost a little bit, because you see these players retiring extraordinarily early, even earlier than traditional sports, and it's less physical. And any esports player will say something different, but it is like literally less physical. I know you have your strain, but I think it's more so burnout.
But, you know, it's also actually, we're going backwards in a lot of ways. It's funny because the professional leagues have started, but now we're going, a lot of people are starting these leagues in high schools and
mm-hmm.
colleges.
It is going backwards, you're right.
So it's going in a backward way, which is, I like the fact that there's more high school play. There's going to be college play, because now kids are playing for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of their you know, I got to go to esport practice,
yeah.
after school, and they're going and playing with their buddies and their friends, you know, at high school, they're known in the high school as the kid who's really good at, you know, Overwatch, or he's really good at League of Legends, and, you know, he took the high school to the finals, and
it's,
you know,
a cool varsity sport now.
Right, that's where the fun is.
Agreed.
The fun is, you know, I gotta tell you, even today, I would prefer to watch college basketball and college football rather than watching pros.
I think a lot of people say that too.
Yeah, why you don't even want to do that though? I mean, like, made it a big business. But I mean, I actually get a kick out of more like watching a high school football game, mm-hmm. or a high school a baseball game or a basketball game, because you know the kids are out there because they're having fun.
Yeah.
They like it. It's fun. It's not a job. Their job is to study and get good grades. That's what their job is. And as an extracurricular activity, they're doing that for fun. Yeah. That's what esports should be. So we started in the very, but it maybe in a lot of ways it do, because, you know, the older generations, and I'm gonna bash my own generation. I mean, the older generations didn't see esports as a viable, fun thing for kids to do. So that's why it was never introduced in the high school. That's why it was never introduced in colleges as something that people would do. But I gotta tell you, my son played on the Rutgers Smash team, and he was really good. But he did it because it was fun. He liked it. He had a good time. You know?
Yeah.
So we're going in a very backward way. Our foundation is starting. But the only reason why we're going backwards is people my age saw, oh, we can make money in it? Oh, let's do that. So now all this money has been being poured. If you say esports to somebody who's in their, you know, mid-60s to 70s range, and they've got a lot of money, oh, yeah, I got to throw money at that because I know it's going to be big.
Because it's the hot new thing.
Right. So I think in a lot of ways we're looking at it from a very, very different set of glasses. For example, I mean, you've met Wim Stocks, correct? He's the CEO of the Collegiate Star League.
Yeah. Actually, no, I never have met him.
All right, well, I think you met Neil Duffy. He
also works with... I know Neil Duffy.
Okay. So here's guys that are trying to build their Collegiate Star League. It's more of a grassroots. It's all colleges, which I find amazing. I think that's amazing. I think that's great. That's where it really should begin. It really should have begun there, or should have begun there before we got into pro levels.
Yeah, Net Esports is doing a lot for colleges. I mean, I'm sorry, not Esports. ESPN is doing a lot for colleges as well. They had this huge college invitational with multiple different game titles.
Right, and I definitely think that's the future of esports. If you really want to know what the future of esports is, in the colleges and high schools. Mm-hmm. All the stuff going on right now with Overwatch and Call of Duty, I think they're going to be there. But it's not really going to form its following and its building until the college levels and the high school levels are really integrated into video game and competition play. And I think that was the missing piece. It's getting there. That's why I say everyone knows it's getting there. But it had to start at the grassroots point.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll get there. But this is why you're seeing young esport guys, you know, from Europe and other places and in the United States that are match fixing. Because, you know, they're saying to themselves, hey, here's something I used to play for fun. Now somebody wants me to win for them. But I can make more money if I just match fix this event, this mm-hmm. match. I'm just going to throw it. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That's how they see it. So, you know, that it's all about, like, cultivating the communities, getting them to a point where, you know, there's a desire. And it doesn't come from getting paid.
It comes from the community.
It comes from the community.
Because that's who's feeding it. Realistically, you have no community, you have nothing.
There's no community basis for the pros because you didn't have it built in college. When you get a college kid who's with his, you know, four of his friends that he's played, you know, Overwatch all over the country with, and he's gone to different colleges and they've won and they've lost and they're doing it because they're not getting paid to do it. They're doing it because it's fun.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, when they win a championship, and they're really good, they're kind of like, oh, man, maybe we could go pro.
Yeah.
And I can get paid for this. I can get paid to have a good time and have fun. So the kid is going into playing as a professional from already spending 4 years in college of having fun with it.
So you think by focusing more on fun, the young hopefuls that are going to be in these college leagues, you think they'll have more integrity because they have more love and respect for it rather than just trying to make money? Is that...
Oh, I am 100% sure for that. Mm. Because if you look at any other competitive sport that's a competitive sport out there, people who are playing on the pro levels were doing it as kids before they became
because
pro.
They love it and they just happen to be amazing at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there was no money when it started off, and there was a bigger school scene. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you get amazing football players because they played in high school. You get amazing baseball players because they played in Little League when they were 10 years old. And they dreamed of winning that, you know, that home run or that hit.
Yeah, I think esports did start with that as well. It was built by those who truly loved it. But I see what you're saying with it's accelerating too quickly and there's too much focus on the competitive fame
right.
of it.
So when you see, you know, I think it should be a criteria that anyone that wants to play professional video game play, that they need to play in college first.
I mean, what if you don't go to college, though? That's not fair.
All right, so maybe they need to play in high school first.
Yeah, I don't know about keeping it that strict, because you do have players, I'm sure, in traditional sports that weren't college players that just were talented. But I think having, like what NBA 2K is doing, I think having more invitationals and qualifiers that people can do from their home, and if they have the raw skill, they can climb up the ladder and really fight to get the top spot for the qualifier. I think that's the way to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, you got to look at it from this perspective, too. I mean, baseball, for example, going way, way back, before people thought it was important to go to college in the first place, they used to have to go all over the world to find players.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they would have tryouts. So it is similar.
So that's pretty much what these open tournaments are. They're tryouts.
Right. They're tryouts for pro players. And that's also important, but that's part of the mix. But, you know, again, I think that the aspect of it, of being a fun thing to do in the first place, is overlooked.
Just make it fun.
Yeah. It's just got to have, you just have to, and you know, they kind of like try to do that in a lot of ways. Like they do exposés on the players and like they try to make them, you know, the video
Overwatch League is really good with that. They're really good with their social media presence and like keeping the players super relatable by like having them do food challenges or just having them, like they have this thing called like Comm Check where it's just the players talking before the matches and just like kind of hanging out. It's very interesting and it really makes you kind of favor those players as your own.
And that's important to have. I think that's a great thing to have, but here's the question. What do we know about social media? We know that in social media, okay, you have one persona, and in real life, there's another.
Well, I think that's why more content's important, though, too. Because the more content you have, you can't fake it. Like, a lot of streamers who are full-time streamers, they can't fake their personality. That's who they are. Except for, like, Dr. Disrespect or, like, a character, but...
A perfect example, and I love that analogy because that's perfect. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you're getting in contact with the guy who's playing a professional video game, and he is having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That makes other people want to be interested in him because he's having a good time. And the biggest and the most popular video game competitors today in esports are the ones that have the best personalities. Ninja is a perfect example. Why is it that people can relate to people like Booga or Ninja or all these other guys? Why? The reason is because when you talk to them, when you connect with them on social media, when they're streaming, they're having fun.
Yes.
And you want to have fun. Everybody wants to have fun. That's the bottom line. So that's why the biggest and the best streamers and the best personalities in esports are the ones who can deliver or transfer via their stream, via their play, whatever it is when they're not playing professionally in a match, that they can translate the fact that they're really enjoying what they're doing. And you know what? You watch them, you're going to enjoy it too. And that's who shines. And in any, you know, so but when you get things like the CSGO event, where you get guys that are cheating and throwing matches, this is like the other side of,
you know, the dark side of esports.
It's the dark side. And nobody wants to be in the dark side.
No.
Because that just brings everybody down.
I agree.
So I think overall, what we really have to take a look at is when and if we talk about more gambling in the space of esports, this is why the casinos, this is why the gambling world needs to step in and say, you know what, if you really want to continue to gamble and play or whatever, come to a casino, play some video games for some money, and do it for fun. Listen, you don't play slot machines. I don't know if you've ever played blackjack or any other card games.
Played like online blackjack, like not real betting, but I understand
it.
But
what'd you do? What'd you do for? You did for fun, exactly. So underlying score for everybody in esports, in the casino industry, the gambling industry, the wagering industry, the entertainment side of esports and video gaming is FUN.
Focus on fun.
Focus on the fun. Because that's the only thing that's going to drive the market and get it bigger, and it has to grow that way. Because if we keep focusing on the negative aspects of it, and they will rise its ugly head all the time, we have to accentuate the fun part of it. And I'm glad Louis Vuitton advertised. I think they're gonna get a lot of business from it, but it has to be in the way that is structured and delivered to the audience as, this is a great time. Everyone's going to have a great time and fun. And
I think as long as the skins aren't ugly, they'll be okay. They'll probably like it.
I know. I think I saw something about Fortnite recently that for the 80th birthday of Batman.
Yeah, you got to go to Gotham City.
I thought that was awesome.
Fortnite is totally ahead of the curve with that shit. Like, they have all these crazy crossovers that everybody cannot wait to play, and they have the volume of it too. They do it to scale. It seems as though almost every like week or so they have a new event where you can explore this totally new area, and it's an absolute community event. And I think that's why Fortnite wins in so many ways. They're all about their community. Even if they don't always listen to them, they're always about innovating their stuff.
Well, I know a lot of guys over at Epic. Actually, I've spoke to the CEO, Tim Sweeney, a bunch of times, and I gotta tell you, I know people who knew about the Fortnite game before it was called Fortnite. In fact, that game was a shelved, failed indie game that originally was an FPS, and it was an FPS of zombies thing.
Yeah, was it something the world?
Yeah, something in the world, whatever, but it was shelved. It was shelved. It was shelved for like 4 or 5 years. And somebody took it off the shelf and they're like, oh, well, as soon as they saw PUBG came out, they're like, let's just do that. Let's do a Battle Royale version. And they reformatted it and created the characters and everything, and it became a big hit. And ever since that, they've been riding that pony, which is great. I think Fortnite was built in the Unreal Engine, which, from my experiences, and this is, I've been involved at a lot of game developer conferences, and I've talked to a lot of game developers, and I've walked a lot of game developer events, and I've talked to each of those developers, and 90% of the people were using Unity as their software engine. And I always wondered why they didn't use the Unreal Engine, because the Unreal Engine seemed to just be much more. I mean, I went to a seminar where they were talking about how to use the Unreal Engine. And the Unreal Engine seemed a lot easier to use than Unity, but everyone was using Unity, and the game that really became the most popular game was built in Unreal.
Yeah.
So, So, you know, and you know, it's an interesting...
don't follow the wave.
Right.
Do your research before you do something.
Exactly. I think that's kind of like our overall theme of the night, which is, you know, do your research, look into what you're looking and doing, and that comes from every perspective and every angle and anything you do in the world.
Yeah.
Just make sure you're doing it in the right way, and don't listen to the hype, because the hype is just... It'll mislead you, and it'll get, and you'll be guided in many different directions, and then you'll find yourself lost in the field of bullshit.
Authenticity.
Yeah, and so it's so funny because our industry, in the video gaming world, we talk a lot about authenticity.
Yeah.
And you know, and the concept.
It's a buzzword.
And it is. It's a buzzword, but you know, it's so funny because I feel so much of the industry is not authentic. It's not direct. We mislead too many of those people who want to invest into video gaming and esports and maybe building betting app or whatever it is. We need to guide them better. We need to teach them better. We need to not mislead them. You know, we're authentic with each other in the gaming industry, but I don't think we're authentic to the people who want to be involved in the video gaming industry.
Okay, because you want their involvement.
Well, they want their money.
Yeah. Well, that's like what I meant in a nice way.
Right. You know me, I don't sugarcoat it. So, but that's I think what it is. And this is why we have these articles that you and I talk about, you know, problems with the match fix. But, you know, also the issues of the building of the video gaming industry and the esports. We really have to understand that people that are coming involved, that want to get involved, that want to bring in their money, that want to guide them to the way that they should be investing, not in a way that they're not going to get a return on. I'm just saying to be smart. Instead of fooling people trying to get in, make sure if you want to include investors, make them part of that game. Louis Vuitton, I hope they do very well. But I can tell you right now that if they don't, you won't see Louis Vuitton again as a sponsor.
That was well said.
So.
I think that was a perfect way to end it.
I agree.
Well said.
So we'll talk in 2 weeks.
All right, I'll see you then. Thanks so much, as always. I hope you have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Jen. Have a good night. And good night to everyone out there.
Good night, everybody.